Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learned number 23.
23.
23 deep. I can't believe it, you guys. Deep, yeah. This is a really awesome episode.
Really great episode.
Today we are hanging out with none other than Joel Stein.
Joel Stein.
He's a longtime writer for Time Magazine. His work has appeared so many other places.
You've seen him on VH1's I Love the 80s.
Yes. He has a new book out, Man Made.
Yeah, it's a really good book. Go out and buy it. It came out last year, 2012. Well, yes. It actually came out 2 years ago, I think.
Came out May 2012. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's still available on the internet, still associated with his name. He still wrote it. That's the nice thing about books is there's no expiration date on them.
No. He's a really fun guy, really smart guy.
Whip smart guy. Really smart. I think you're going to dig this episode.
Yeah. I'm not very smart, and you'll hear about that.
Well, you know.
I'm not a scientist.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. All right, just spoiler free.
Listen, like you know everything. Come on, get off your high horse and get into your podcast horse.
Yeah. We want to thank you guys for downloading this episode while you're just opening this. If you can go and give us a good rating on iTunes and on give us a comment and all that sort of stuff, we'd really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. And we also have to give it up for today's sponsor. Today's episode is brought to you by T-Fury.
T-Fury.com.
They are your original pop culture t-shirt destination, selling unique designs every day since 2008. You can snag their t-shirts for only 24 hours starting at midnight.
Yeah.
And say you're missing a shirt from the past, you want to get it again. Well, you're not out of luck. You can head to the T-Fury Gallery, where you can buy old designs still in print and vote on others to come back from the dead. Every 2 to 4 weeks, they add more designs to their gallery, so be sure to keep an eye out for the return of some of your favorite designs.
Yeah, T-Fury shirts, I love T-Fury because they cover all your favorite topics and fandoms. Like, it's all sorts of cool nerd puns and all of that type of stuff.
Yeah, they got everything. They got gaming, sci-fi,
anime, TV, movies, pop culture, and more. Their t-shirts change daily, so check back as often as you'd like because they tend to be like a 24-hour day thing.
And don't forget about the T-Fury after-hours sale, because if you miss the day's shirt by just a little bit, you can keep this. They keep the sale going to the wee hours of the morning just for you. So
if you can't log online at work, or if you're traveling or any sort of that thing, and you go out and you party and all that, and then when you get home, when you're checking your Facebook and tagging your friends, get onto tfury.com, and then you got a couple hours to buy that shirt.
That pile of laundry in the corner looking insurmountable, just buy a new shirt from tfury.com. They're so cheap. Definitely worth it. So, guys, please help support the podcast. Check out tfury.com, teefury.com/nerdist, and see what today's shirt is all about.
Yeah, tfury.com/nerdist. And this is a great episode with Joel Stein, and we want to thank you guys for listening, and hopefully you enjoy it. So without further ado, today we learn number 23 with Joel Stein.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Alrighty, well, I think we're rolling right, aren't we? That's perfect. That's all on there, right? Anyways. our listeners,
for posterity.
Let's see how many hate mails I get on Twitter here. Once again, this is Today We Learned. We'll just start right off. My name is Razzle.
I'm Dan.
And with us is the awesome Joel Stein.
What will you be learning today, Razzle?
I'll be learning what Aristotle was.
It's not a what. It's getting worse.
Here we go.
He was a loose collection of ideas. He was two tinier philosophers in a trench coat.
I'm still upset about the Golden Globe, so I'm just going to focus on that.
Did you not win?
I did not win.
No, oh my God. Snubbed again.
That's horrible. Is there a podcast thing now in the Golden Globes?
I don't think so, but there should be. Best comedy musical podcast.
It'll go to some drama podcast.
Goes to some drama podcast.
Exactly. Oh, you were going there. Sorry.
That's fine. Okay. I like it. Joel is a very funny Twitter personality. He writes for Time Magazine. He's got a book out. Remind me of the name, Made Man, Man.
It's man-made?
Man-made.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good, yeah. You actually know more about me than you know about Aristotle.
I do.
It's horrifying.
You're more relevant to his immediate life.
Aristotle's on the podcast next week. I'm going to study up on him.
Good, okay.
Yeah, he's got a new CD coming out.
We like to start off the podcast with the guest providing a fact about themselves or something they learned recently. I don't know if you have anything interesting about yourself or if you've learned anything recently that you'd like to share with us or...
I made it to the final round of Real World.
Okay.
Wow.
And I was set up with the reason I didn't get picked was because John Murray thought I would never get laid.
Oh, no.
Which was probably accurate, but as part of the round before the last one, he set me up with someone and filmed it.
Okay.
And I wound up dating the bald chick for several months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's amazing.
Which season was that?
I believe it was London.
Okay.
They picked, do you know your Real World very well compared to your Aristotle? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Greek philosopher, zero. Real World, so 100.
When you say you made it to the final round, is it the final round of casting, or did you make it to the final round of the show? I don't remember if they vote people off or...
They do not vote people off. Okay. They just casting. Just
gotcha. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Which would have involved flying you to New York and putting you up in some hotel, which would have been exciting for me, except I lived in New York.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Well, you would have got to stay in a hotel for an evening. You don't have to tell
They didn't even give me the hotel.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I know.
Like, yeah.
I know.
Here's a quarter to defray your subway costs.
They didn't even do that.
Oh, no.
That's awesome. That's funny. You're also from Edison, New Jersey.
Are you from Edison?
I am not. Oh. But I was doing some research because on occasion I like to provide facts about the guests.
There's one.
And Edison, New Jersey, for those of you listening, it was named after Thomas Edison. They changed it to Edison because Thomas Edison had his lab set up there in Menlo Park.
Much like Aristotle, Greece, which I'm sure you've never been to.
All right. No. So, yeah, we were talking about Aristotle. You guys obviously are very familiar with Aristotle.
No, we just know of him. Yes, I've heard. Yeah, Thomas Edison.
He's a good guy.
Set up, it used to be called Menlo Park, okay. New Jersey. He set up a lab there for a while. We're all very proud of that.
Yeah. Then he stole everybody's invention, right?
Yeah. I think that's how he worked. That's how everyone works, right?
He was a patent troll.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Joel, you also write quite a bit for Time Magazine.
I do.
You do. We got a few facts for Time Magazine to share with everybody. For
oh, please.
Those of you that
yeah. What, can we quiz me? Because I'm always surprised.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This is fun.
I've worked there since 1997.
Holy
and yet,
shit.
There's so many like weird facts I don't know.
Okay. What year was Time Magazine created?
I should know this. 1920. It was in the middle of the Depression, so it was the 20s. Is that good enough? You want a year?
Yes, that's
it.
It's 1923.
Three.
1923. Yeah. It was created by Britton Hayden and Henry Luce, making it the first weekly news magazine in the United States.
Is that how do you did you pronounce that Britton's last name right?
Hadden.
Britton Hayden Hadden.
How many D's
you got
there?
He's got two
yeah,
D's.
So I'd go Hadden.
Hadden.
Yeah.
Okay, Britton
One
Hadden.
D is silent.
You do call yourselves the Nerdist, so I'm just holding up to a higher standard.
Absolutely. We call ourselves Today We Learned. We are under the Nerdist
okay.
umbrella.
All right, fine. Today you're learning a lot.
I'm also,
what happens when there are two consonants next to each other.
I'm also a 31-year-old who goes by Razzle, so my intellect
Your mileage may
be,
vary.
My man.
Or Razzle.
Only when he appears on Danish TV.
Yeah. All right, another question. Do you know who the first person on the cover of Time Magazine was?
Oh, yeah, because it's in the office. This is embarrassing. I can picture it, but he's not very famous. I don't know.
Not at all.
Depends on who you ask.
Wait, is he a defense secretary? Is he no? No, he was an industrialist of some kind. I don't know.
You were on the right path. He's a politician from Illinois, a leader of the Republican Party. He was a speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives,
okay.
And his name is... Joseph Gurney Cannon, JGC.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had all the live covers in the office.
Yeah, and it was like art. It was like pencil or whatever. Like, it wasn't really an intricate design, I believe, from what I remember.
It was black and white.
Yeah.
Much like the rest of the world was back then.
That's a good point.
flashbacks are to be believed. Maybe in a delightful sepia tone.
Do you know who the man of the year was on January 2nd, 1939?
Probably Hitler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He was the man that year.
Yeah.
He was the man that year.
It was a more conservative publication.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think a lot of people are also taking that sort of when they see Man of the Year and see Hitler, they're like, they're not celebrating Hitler. They're saying he was the most newsworthy person.
I think Time may have been a little famous back then for being initially on the Hitler bandwagon.
Oh, yeah?
They got off
really?
Of it. I could be wrong.
Hitler?
I think they were a tiny bit at the beginning. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there weren't a lot of Jews working at Time back then.
They were fans of his paintings, primarily, for the record. Well, let's see. Do you know when the Man of the Year tradition started at Time Magazine?
I know it was because they missed Charles Lindbergh the whole year. They didn't put him on the cover, so they made him. They created the Man of the Year deal in order to put him on the cover for no reason. So what year is that? Is that
that's right.
Yeah, that is
early 30s.
Close. 1927.
27.
So,
yeah, you were right on the money there.
Not really.
They were embarrassed by not having Lindbergh on the cover, and they figured it would be a good way to sum up how newsworthy he was that year and save face at the same time by making him Person of the Year.
It was so crazy. I got hired at Time, and I didn't know anything about Time, and they were so proud and steeped in their history and tradition that they were always disgusted that I didn't know who like Henry Luce was. It's just stuff that had never come up in my life.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you're not, you know, you're not
a journalist.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
it's like why would I ever need to know this information unless you're at bar trivia?
Yeah. Yeah, but now apparently I've, after all these years, I've soaked it up.
Exactly. You've absorbed it all.
How'd you start writing for Time?
I was working at a magazine called Time Out New York.
Okay.
And someone at Time, a kind of young editor, read my stuff there and gave me a couple of assignments for this magazine called Time Digital they were putting out, which was about like the internet and stuff like that when it was sort of newish. And it was like my first business trip, my first rental car, my first ever. So I did 4 stories freelance for them over a year, and then they hired me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Which I was kind of initially bummed about because I thought I'd have to write really boring.
Oh, yeah.
But they paid me in money instead of food like my previous job, so I felt like I had to take it.
At a certain point, like, wait, I can buy food with this and other things.
Yeah, I know. So
and
I took it.
Concerts.
Yeah.
Cool. That's cool. Now, there's a Time office out here as well, then, right?
If there is, I haven't found it yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's
no, there the used to be. Everything's getting smaller now. Yeah, the offices are in New York. I work out of my house.
Nice.
Okay.
There's an office here for the salespeople because they're important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get the salespeople in here. Journalists, you're sleeping in your car.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Write a list for BuzzFeed.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well,
BuzzFeed.
Let's shift gears a little bit.
Is that a buzzer?
Back.
Does that tell you something?
Yeah,
that,
every time you say BuzzFeed, my phone buzzes.
That's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
It buzzes a list of the top 10 buzz tones.
Yeah, exactly. It tells me 21 ringtones.
21 ringtones.
I should probably answer my phone. Let's go back in time a little bit. Back in the day.
Do you have a drop for that? Is there a... Really?
Yeah, well, can we get some, like, dreamy jingles in the background?
We need a soundboard. We really need to get a soundboard.
Remember. Yeah, soundboard's the last thing we need. Abuse that. So, back in the day, having one's teeth removed used to be considered an appropriate birthday present or dowry for poor people in the 19th century. And this was, in areas of high poverty, many people would have all of their upper teeth or lower teeth removed in a single sitting. The idea being...
It's an oral sex thing?
It could be, because let me get there. The idea being that this would save money on dentistry in the future. So, save money on dentistry down the line. And on their 21st birthday for a young man or the dowry for a young woman before her wedding, this would be a gift to them. Then a couple weeks later, after they munched down some soft foods... They'd get a gleaming new set of dentures to put in their mouth.
Okay, so...
Like finding out you have... Did you have to take the 23andMe test to find out you have the genes for bad teeth before you preventively take your teeth out?
I think everyone just had bad teeth back then because you have the combination of lack of dental hygiene, innovation and technology.
Is this England only poverty. Or is this all over the world?
I think this... It didn't... The article I was reading didn't specify, but it does seem to have sort of a UK bent.
It does,
So I would presume...
Was the article in English?
Yes.
Then probably.
But I didn't see any additional use in the words.
Okay, that's confusing.
And I pronounced it aluminum.
So maybe not then.
So who knows?
So it's kind of like that mascotomy or whatever where women
what?
Will get
what did you call it?
I don't know. I'm not.
This is so horrifying.
Mastectomy?
Yes. Yes, what you said.
We're talking about the surgery where you remove
your breast to prevent breast cancer.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was a preventative measure. But can you imagine how awful a birthday?
How did you say that again?
Mastectomy?
Mastectomy. So there's a T before the C then, right?
Yes.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
I'm not crazy, right?
You're doing great.
Okay, cool.
I have a problem with you.
Great.
I've only read the word like 4 times.
Yeah, well, so I mean, you don't have much reason to at mastectomies.
Yeah. So it's essentially that for your teeth, like you'd get your teeth removed.
Yeah, it was meant as a preventative measure, but I'm just saying, what a horrifying birthday present to receive. Like, you're turning 21, what does that mean? Taking out all your teeth.
Yeah, that's a horrible present. Like, I'd be like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah. And this is early dentures. A lot of them were taken from the mouths of soldiers slain in battle in fields across Europe.
Oh, real teeth.
Yeah, because early dentures are made of wood or carved bone or ivory, and they had no enamel, so that meant they were going to decay quickly, rot, and then your mouth would have this awful stench. So a lot of human teeth were considered to be an improvement, But robbing graves was generally frowned upon, mm-hmm. so a lot of poor people sold their teeth to the rich, which is also another purpose for...
Poor people sold their actual teeth?
They sold their actual teeth to be used as dentures for the wealthy because, you know, dental hygiene was pretty shitty across the board, so poor people could make some quick cash by selling their teeth to be used as dentures. But also teeth were scavenged from battlefields across Europe and shipped back to England by the barrelful. And these were actually seen as like a really patriotic symbol. You had a mouthful of hero's teeth, which is pretty weird to think about now. But, you know, I guess I can understand in some weird way the impetus behind that, the feeling behind that.
That's going to be on Downton Abbey season 5.
Yeah, exactly. The Dowager Countess, the mouthful of soldier teeth.
New teeth for
And in the 19th century, if you couldn't afford dentures, there was a solution. You weren't just going to be a toothless monster for the rest of your days. You could get something called a pair of masticators. And masticators were these sort of metal jaws, like a nutcracker, that would pre-crush mouthfuls of food for you to eat. So it would just, you crush it outside, then you get to chow down on it with your...
Oh, wow. It's like a blender.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's like the slap chop? But the primitive slap version. Chop.
Now, how'd you become interested in this?
I was just looking around the internet for facts. I came across this interesting article. I saw something. Honestly, it was just this website called QI.com, who stands for Quite Interesting.
Right.
And they had this word cloud thing, knowledge cloud or information cloud, whatever they call it. And I just saw the tag for dentures, so I clicked on it randomly and came across this bundle of knowledge and horror.
All right, if you had a time machine, where would you go?
If I had a time machine, where would I go? That is an excellent question.
That's what I do.
I would maybe back to like Tokugawa era Japan.
Interesting. Why?
Yeah. I studied a lot in college. I think it would be really interesting. I would probably die immediately. I'd probably go after the black ships came, like 1865, just so I wouldn't be totally horrifying to all the locals.
Right.
But, you know, wow. I think it would be an interesting time to experience, to soak it all in. You know, get some ukiyo-e prints, then turn a profit in the future, like Gray's Almanac in Back to the Future.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, what about yourself? What
we're sending him to ancient Greece, for sure.
No, you got to tell him about Hemlock first.
Fuck you guys.
I think anyone that picks the past is crazy.
Yeah,
you're always go future.
Always, exactly. Always.
We know the past, and the past smells.
Yeah,
I don't have a sense of smell, so
I knew that. I knew that.
I will raise this.
I don't believe that
paradox. Go ahead, fart. I dare you. I will say I should specify. Every so often, I get something for like a split second, but usually it's radio silence.
And so you're not that into food, right?
I love food.
You do.
I love it.
But you just like the texture.
I like the texture. I can still taste it. It's just I think it's probably a little bit dulled, I would imagine.
So like what's your...
I did have a point of reference. I had a sense of smell until I was like age 12 or 13. Then I just thought I had a cold and it never went away.
And what, was there a psychologically scarring experience? Or
yes. Well, one time I walked in on... No, I don't know what happened.
You don't know what happened?
Yeah, it's just... I believe my grandfather had mild anosmia, so I think it might be genetic in a certain way.
And it didn't kick in until you were like 12.
Yeah, I'm like the world's shittiest X-Man.
And when you... weird things kick in at puberty, though.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Nut allergies and these things.
Yeah.
And so, okay, how long do you think it took you to realize what was going on?
I would say probably... Probably within the first year, I sort of was like, well, this is... I was like, I've been stuffed up for a while, but I didn't think... At a certain point, it was the kind of thing where I was embarrassed. I hadn't told anyone for so long, mm-hmm. so I kept putting it off. So I didn't talk to a doctor about it for like 5 or 6 years.
So it wasn't like the next morning, you think? It was probably...
No, it was probably... I'd say it was probably a couple months later where it's the kind of thing where I'm like, oh, another day I'm stuffed up. Then after a while, I'm like, I should not be stuffed up this long, but being the... stupid little teenager I was, I
sure.
didn't it wasn't the first thing that I thought of. I was more thinking of like, I can't wait to play PlayStation.
how about wine? Can you like, are you
wine? I can tell you if it's a good wine or a bad wine, but I could not tell you about the note of sandalwood or the undercurrent.
But
you
can basically tell me if it's balanced, if there's a nice acidity.
I can
versus,
tell you if there's structure.
Okay,
may contain sulfites, all that stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He looked into it after he started climbing on the walls.
Exactly.
You know, my senses are elevated.
Yeah, once I realized I could jump 10 feet vertically, figured I should investigate.
So this interests me because I don't drink, so I don't know anything about wine.
Did you never drink?
I've never
had
a drop of alcohol in my life.
No, why? That's interesting. Why is that?
Never got into it. It was when I was in high school and all that, I was always, it was probably a combination of not wanting to get in trouble. And it was also a combination of like when I would go to parties, I was always the one talking the cops out of like giving everybody tickets and all that. And then when I graduated high school, I was in a punk band up until I was like 23.
Oh, like a straight edge kind of thing?
It was, I mean, I was never straight edge, but it was, you know, it was a pop punk band in Michigan. And I was, I did all like, I booked all the shows and all that and handled all the money and all that. So it was kind of like after our shows or whatever, I need to be the one to drive us home, et cetera. And then, you know, you turn 21 and everybody's on their 21st birthday, like, oh, let's go get hammered. And it's like, you really have been, I mean, you've been getting hammered since high school anyways. So turning 21 really isn't a thing. And I turned 21 and it's like, it's not my thing. Let's go see a movie instead or something like that. And then, you know, at some point, you know, I'm 31 and it's like, I've never, you know, why start now? Well, and the amount of money I save, I mean, not only do I save a ton of money, but it's kind of like, why? I mean, I don't know what I'm missing. I don't need to.
And you've it's become such a part of your identity that having one beer is going to ruin that for you. And now you can't tell people you're the guy who doesn't drink.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to find some other person to be.
No one cares about the one beer guy.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably get laid a lot more if I was drinking.
But how about drugs?
I don't do drugs either.
Any?
Sober. I mean, I consume the hell out of caffeine.
Ever smoked a cigarette?
No. Drink way too much caffeine, though. And I'm a huge fan of sweets. Eat a lot of...
You know, you find your vices elsewhere.
Yeah. I like movies.
Well, it sounds like that's all one convenient package. You go to the theater, you get your sweets, and
I drink Capri Suns. I'm like a child and an adult. Yeah. Body.
Have you ever dated someone who was a pretty heavy drinker, and then you're like...
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say heavy drinker, but I mean, I've never dated someone who's not drank.
Right.
You know, all my friends drink, and, you know, it's smoke marijuana, and and cigarettes or whatever, you know, so it's, you know... It's not like I'm not here to. I don't judge people. It's just not my.
Sounds thing, like you do a little bit.
I think you're all going to hell. If I believed in hell, you'd be going there. So there's wine, like you were saying, balanced wine. Like what? How is a wine not balanced?
Oh, if it's.
I guess it's in terms of like how the flavor.
Too much alcohol. Too much acid. Yeah. Too much. Okay. Those aren't things you necessarily perceive with your nose so much.
Yeah, it's mouth feel, that god awful term.
Well, this is interesting. While we're talking about wine,
it's got too much tannin. There's other things you can detect.
Exactly.
Yeah.
While we're talking about wine and alcohol, here's a food fact for everybody about
food facts.
Mountain Dew. I'm going to go reverse order of the bullet points I have right here. But Mountain Dew was originally a Southern or Scottish Irish slang for moonshine.
Really?
Example, homemade whiskey. Yeah, in the early bottles and signage, and even on the Pepsi throwbacks of Mountain Dew, it'll have like the cartoon-styled hillbilly sipping with like the weed hanging out of his mouth or whatever.
There's never alcohol in Mountain Dew.
No. Okay. Mountain Dew, the original formula, was invented in 1940 by Tennessee beverage brothers Barney and Allie Hartman, and was first marketed in Marion, Virginia, Knoxville, Tennessee, and Johnson City, Tennessee, with the slogan, Yahoo, Mountain Dew, it'll tickle your innards.
That is so much better than Dew the Dew.
The Mountain Dew brand and production rights were acquired by the Pepsi-Cola Company in 1964, at which point distribution expanded more widely across the United States and Canada. The Hartman brothers originally developed Mountain Dew as a mixer because soft drinks were regional in the 1930s, and the Hartmans had difficulty in Knoxville obtaining their preferred soda to mix with the liquor and all that stuff, so they invented Mountain Dew.
I feel like this is not knowing anything. I feel like soda is a American Southern beverage. Like, was it existing? Is that where it really started, or was it all over the world and people were drinking there?
Dr. Pepper, I believe, was the first actual soda mass sold that beat Coca-Cola by, I think, a year. I think we mentioned it a few weeks ago or whatever. But it's definitely it was definitely more of like a treat thing. Like, it wasn't like a you didn't drink it
all day.
It was like
Was it a Southern thing though, or is it? Was soda happening all over the world? Like, there was Orangina, and
in the 30s? I don't think so. I think it was probably
soda water, perhaps, but cola, as we know it, originated in the U.S.
Other flavors of soda, too, right?
Yeah, I'd imagine not.
Fanta originated in Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, because...
Time Magazine loves Fanta. Our whole office was filled with Fanta. Weird.
They couldn't sell Coke in Nazi Germany because they didn't want to tarnish its all-American image.
Because it was black.
Yeah, they didn't want to tarnish its all-American image, so what they did is created this other soda, an orange soda, so Fanta, and they sold that in Germany instead.
Yeah, with all the trade embargoes going on and all that, the people who ran the Coke factory in Germany couldn't export or import the ingredients to make, so they made their own.
Wow. And now we have all those crazy commercials.
All those girls dancing.
They stuck with the European thing. Yeah,
yeah, they've got a bunch of
all those girls doing the line kicks and the spandex
jet skis.
Yeah.
But it seems soda seems like sweet and something you drink when it's hot out. It just seems southern, right?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly makes sense. I would imagine that. I'm trying to see where this guy says became popular worldwide after pharmacist John Pemberton invented Coca-Cola in 1886. And, you know, Coke's based out of Atlanta. So I think, you know, saying it's a southern...
might not be true.
It's a, you know...
It would make sense.
Yeah.
Definitely would make sense if it was in the more south, you know, because you sit on your porch in the hot weather, you know, drinking lemonade and stuff.
Yeah, right?
And all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can only have so many mint juleps before you need to slow your roll and even your keel a little bit.
What's a Mountain Dew?
What's in a mint julep? Because last night I learned how to make an old-fashioned.
Just for other people?
I was at my buddy Joel's house and
have a goddamn drink. Let it go. You're an interesting person. You don't have to be this guy.
I was at my buddy Joel's house and my buddy Reggie, he's a bartender, and Joel was making everybody old-fashions. And my buddy Reggie came by because they do like an orange rind. You wipe it around the rim of an old-fashioned, and Joel was doing the inside of the orange rind, and Reggie was like, no, you use the outside because that's where the oil's
from. Yeah, you get all
from.
The zest.
Yeah.
And
you light that on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how I learned
to answer your question, a mint julep is mint, bourbon.
And sugar.
Sugar and a little bit of water.
Mint, sugar. Right, because it's a simple syrup.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I dated sort of like a woman from Tennessee. She used to make them on Derby Day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
See, yeah, that's one of those.
Yeah,
they are,
nice.
They're a New York. So Derby staple. Yeah. They're very refreshing.
Like, I want to go to a Derby at some point. Like, just the idea of old. Like, I'm not into sports, but horse racing and all
I
that
went
is
to
so
the.
Awesome.
I went better, maybe just as good as Derby. I went to the one in the Breeders' Cup in Santa Anita.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It just, everyone was...
Was everyone, like, dressed to the nines and all that?
Totally. Red carpet, dressed to the nines, amazing food, the super old, cool-looking place. Awesome.
Were you wearing Seersucker? Important follow-up question.
No, and I own a Seersucker suit, and as soon as I got there, I instantly regretted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the one day a year that you can wear Seersucker.
Such a mistake.
Without retribution.
I love it because it's like Halloween, but everybody's doing the same thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It's exactly what it was like.
It's like, what was that movie with... With Superman and Michael.
Was it
McKean's
Superman?
Wife. No, it was Superman. Christopher Reeve and
most of the movies with Superman were called Superman.
A Stitch in Time or whatever. Not A Stitch in Time. Christopher Reeve traveled back in time into Mackinac City, Michigan, with Julianne. I don't know. But anyways, and it was all that type of like old style clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how you got to old style clothes?
Yeah. Somewhere in time.
He does
it with Jane Seymour.
Nice.
My brain knows things, but it's just.
Imagine if you do smoke pot. If you did.
Yeah. It all falls into place perfectly. It has the opposite effect.
My brain's like an unfinished Sudoku. Like it's
you got a couple of blocks. I think it's a one, but I don't know.
Give me time and I'll piece together all the information.
I've never smoked anything because I don't know. I've smoked cigars and pipes. I don't know how to inhale.
Yeah.
I just didn't learn it. But I've eaten.
You've had edibles?
I've had edibles. Yeah.
How do you like those?
Seems kind of great. Yeah, it seems like alcohol seems like a much harder drug than pot. Like we should really refocus on
it. Yeah, well, I think that's what people are trying to do now.
Yeah, I know.
It's definitely, I feel like it's way more dangerous.
Alcohol? Oh, yeah, when I tried pot for the first time, I was like, oh, we shouldn't be drinking.
Well, it depends. If you're in a grocery store, pot is way more dangerous because you will buy some stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Come, why did I buy $300 of Dunkaroos?
What are Dunkaroos?
Are they
donuts that you dunk, obviously?
No. Dunkaroos were a delightful snack, which I don't know if they're still making them, but basically they were little crackers shaped like kangaroos, and it came in this little package with a little compartment for frosting. So you dunk a kangaroo.
A cookie?
It's like a graham cracker.
A cookie. Yeah.
And you dunk them in frosting?
Yeah, like a little shortbread type cookie.
Got it. Two things I don't really like, shortbread and frosting.
Yeah, well, that's why you
weird, right?
Subconsciously avoided Dunkaroos.
Yeah. And kangaroos.
Yes. I don't need any kangaroos.
I've
also eaten kangaroo. Yeah. It's better than you'd expect.
Yep. I've never had kangaroo.
It's kind of like
their marketing campaign.
It's like a very lean steak. Yeah, better than you might expect. Come on, just try it.
Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, Razzle, you may not know, looking at him now. Everyone just stared directly at your monitors.
Yeah.
But he used to have a very full-bodied beard.
I did.
A long, a giant beard.
I'll show you. I got a picture of somebody.
You look like a man who can grow a beard.
He can grow the shit out of a beard.
You got a stubble there.
When I first met him, it was, yeah.
You got a Nixonian little, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not a beard to be trifled with.
Yeah.
I used to play croquet every Sunday
okay.
with a group of musicians mm-hmm. who all basically looked like that.
Interesting.
This guy E from the Eels.
Uh-huh. Oh, nice.
Yep. And a bunch of his friends played croquet every Sunday. And
now, was this out here or was this in New York?
Here. In, okay. Yeah.
Weren't Eels on your KCRW?
Convenient.
Guest DJ
yes,
set?
Yes, good. Wow, yes. Yeah, yeah they were. Because I'd get in trouble if they weren't.
Yeah.
I know one like, rock guy. On. Yeah,
yeah.
I put him
yeah,
up.
You gotta yeah, you got to feel like you got to do it at that point. Well, the reason I bring up Razzle's beard is because I was also on QI.com, a cool news site I found out. Check it out if you want to know some weird facts. Is the only members of the United Kingdom Armed Forces who can wear a full beard are members of the Royal Navy. But they only have 2 weeks to grow a full beard. If at the end of 2 weeks it looks stupid, according to the master at arms, they have to shave it.
This can't be true.
It is true. I believe it is true. They have to submit a form requesting permission to stop shaving. They have 2 weeks to, quote, grow a full set, after which you must present yourself to the master at arms, who's the, I think, senior commanding officer if you're a troop. And then the beard is either deemed to look stupid or acceptable and allowed full enough to be permitted. So it's, you know, that's...
That would be a good rule to have
thinking,
in general.
If you're thinking of joining the British Armed Forces, but you want to rock some facial hair, yeah. Just keep that, tuck that under
now,
your
now, can you join hat. It with a beard?
I don't know. I would imagine no.
No. Yeah.
I think you have to join, shave, and then prove you can grow it back. Like, hey, this isn't just stapled onto or hot glued to my face like a weirdo. You know?
Yeah.
While we're on the subject of facial hair, I was also reading...
Who's this we?
Huh?
Go ahead.
It's the royal we. It's just myself.
I know.
It's me and my browser. policemen in the Indian state of Madhya Pradesh are offered cash rewards for growing mustaches. Their income, they get like a performance bonus if they grow a mustache. Because they noticed back in 2004 an event that mustachioed policemen had a positive effect on the public. They just seemed more trustworthy and authoritarian, and they seemed to embody their role a little bit better. But they have to monitor the shape and size of their mustache so it doesn't become too intimidating. Mm. I don't know where that divide is between like intimidating mustache and like comforting authoritarian mustache.
To me, that's
probably Sam Elliott. Like once you
oh
start
yeah, no, that's
Sam
true.
Elliott,
well, I feel like he's in a class unto himself. He's like the Green Beret of mustaches, like the elite force.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Anytime you have that much masculinity happening simultaneously, you get the gay semiotics of it get confusing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to see what Roland Barthes thinks about all this.
Yeah, you do a little bit, because at some point you're singing YMCA.
Yeah, yeah, it's whatever amount of power you're willing to attribute to the mustache, what it becomes a symbol of. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So try not to arrest a Native American chief at a construction site while your naval friends are on shore leave, and you can avoid a situation like that. But otherwise, if you're thinking of becoming a police officer in India... Start working on your mustache today.
Wow.
Yeah. Here's a fun fact about words. Now, Joel, if I were to tell you, if we were to talk about base jumping, you know what base jumping is, right?
Yes.
You're with base jumping. Do you know where the word, the phrase base jumping comes from?
I think it's
from?
An acronym.
It is. It is. I did not know this until yesterday when I was doing some researching for facts. Base jumping, I always thought base jumping was just like because you're jumping off
oh,
of a
right,
base
right,
with a
right.
parachute.
But it's capitalized.
Yeah. It's base jumping is actually, basically for those that don't know, base jumping is skydiving from fixed structures or...
Very dangerous.
Very dangerous. It's like jumping
like
off cliffs.
Parkour meets skydiving.
Yeah.
The French enjoy this mostly, right?
Yeah. It's an activity where participants jump from fixed objects and use a parachute to break their fall.
Like a bridge or a very tall building.
Or like in Mexico, you can jump into giant caverns and canyons.
Everything's legal there, man.
Yeah.
I did this thing for Nightline where they... there's this town about 2 hours from Mexico City where... People stay at this eco resort, mostly locals. At night, the people more local come and they reenact trying to cross the American border. And they have people pretend to be border patrol cops saying like, howdy, y'all are gonna be arrested. And you run like for hours and hours over cliffs in the dark. Like people twist their ankles. Like anything's legal there.
Wow. Oh my God. That's horrifying.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just like, it's such a weird, like, little pantomime to imagine, like, just that playing.
And then
out.
We sang some, like, patriotic song at the end because it was considered, this is a while ago, patriotic to go across the border because you're sending money back home. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
That's wild.
That's crazy. Also crazy, everything is really legal down there. You know, the cartels have been in the news a lot recently because of how much power they have over the government. Also been in the news recently is that they are, like, posting pictures of their halls and like the terrible, like you know, some of the terrible things they've done on stuff like Instagram. They're using social media. Like
they're all about like old school mafia intimidation.
Oh yeah,
but publicly.
Yeah. There was this like really interesting series of photographs of this guy who's a lieutenant or a capo or something. Just him posing with like stacks of cash and his gold plated AK-47. It's just it's a little horrifying to think about. But
kind of awesome, too.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's. I bet they didn't think about that when they were adding the Kelvin filter. But, you know, onwards and upwards.
It's kind of like we were talking about time machines. Like, if I lived in, like, the Old West time, I would definitely be, like, a villain. I would definitely be a bad guy.
Really? Why?
Yeah, because it was
very
so
dangerous.
Easy. It was so easy to just...
Being a good guy seems pretty dangerous, too.
Like, I feel like you could... Like, in the Old West, you could get away with anything.
Got it.
Because you just need a little bit of brains, and you can figure out, you know, you can rob banks, and you can counterfeit money, and you can be, you
That's
know.
Why I've always questioned the Wells Fargo stagecoach as their symbol. Seems like the least safe way to transport money.
The most consistently robbed mode of transportation in history.
I want to see a vault or something.
Yeah, just a vault on wheels.
A giant safe. Like, safes were too heavy to transport on wooden wheels.
As long as you don't mind being called a varmint, I think that you would...
You'd be great.
You make a good bandito.
I'd be a criminal.
I'm sorry, you were talking about base jumping.
This is interesting. Yes. Anyways, but base jumping, for those of you, it's an acronym. It stands for Building, Antenna, Span, and Earth. And those are essentially the four types of categories of fixed objects that are tall enough or deep enough.
Earth really covers all of it.
It just doesn't fall into one of the top three.
Call it structure jumping or, you know, jumping off of objects. Yeah, object jumping.
That is interesting. I did not, because I've never seen it capitalized, so that's...
I don't know if I've ever read it. I've just always heard of base
jumping. Yeah, I guess
you
always just hear about it in passing. Base jumping accident.
No, so then that one, even though it was based off of like a man-made structure, the dude who Red Bull jumped from space.
That's not base jumping.
Felix Baumgartner. Free fall. Technically, he jumped
from space.
On top of the Earth.
Yeah.
That would be an Earth jump.
He wasn't in space.
He was in, I think he was in the stratosphere.
Okay.
He was like... pretty much the vertical limit that you could attain being outside.
That guy is so good looking.
Yeah, it's...
annoying.
If you haven't seen it, Red Bull also released the first-person camera, like the unexpurgated edition. You see his, like, vital signs. You see his, like, adrenaline and everything. His heart rate spike when he first
jumps. Falling
jumps.
Through piles of pussy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You see this. Exactly.
What did you do last week? Oh, jump from space.
Are you in trouble? What you guys do?
No.
Yeah.
do they know you're here at the comic book store?
Yeah. He is the one who knocks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that knock, as we all know now, means that we are unfortunately
running out of our time.
Joel, thank you for being here today.
Oh, my God. This was great. I can't.
Thanks for coming,
We learned a lot about...
Exactly. We
learned
all sorts
of
stuff.
Ancient philosophers.
Yeah, we learned... it's way better to be alive now instead of getting dentures back in the day.
Yep.
And if anybody comes to you to ask you... and gives you a time machine, go to the future.
Future.
Oh, yeah. Go to the future.
Exactly.
All the cool stuff's in the future.
Absolutely. Don't be like me. Don't make that mistake.
No.
Everything cool is in the future.
Yeah.
I had to commit seppuku. That's what happened to me.
Nice.
Now, teach everybody what seppuku means.
That's the ritual suicide. Yeah. Japanese form of ritual suicide. If you, for whatever reason, you dishonored your master or whatever, what have you, you would stab yourself in the stomach, slice horizontally, then vertically, like make a little L shape. And you'd usually have a second with a katana who would slice off your head to make sure it was a quick and honorable death.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's like assisted suicide.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Really cool.
On that note, Joel, where can people find you on the internet? Do you have anything to plug coming
out? What do you got?
I don't.
You got Twitter, the Joel Stein, right?
Yeah.
You have a book that's on sale, right? That came out last year?
I'm sure it's very cheap by now, yes.
Sell that book. Tell everybody what that book is.
It's all the stuff we talked about right here.
Yeah, awesome. Everything today. It's just a transcript of this podcast.
Yeah, mostly dentures and base jumping.
He time traveled in the future. And
your website is also thejoelstein.com?
It is.
Cool.
Wonderful.
Awesome. Well, awesome.
once you are done telling Joel how much you enjoyed him on this podcast, you can tell us how much you wish we had gone somewhere else in time, or how you'd like to base jump with us, or just if you have a fact or anything.
Yeah. Mostly about Aristotle. Send it, send yeah, exactly. in facts. Any ancient Greek philosophers, I'm sure, will do.
Send us your best Stottle facts. Hashtag Stottle facts is what we're going to be using. And you can tweet that to at TWL Podcast. You can tell it to us on Facebook. Today we learned with Razzle and Dan. Or you can find us on Gmail, TWLpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to tweet to us personally, I am at Osteoferocious.
And I am at My Name is Razzle 2. And
as always, go to the future.
Go to the future.
Yeah. That's where the fun is.
Thanks.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.